Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me on the line today is Clinton Matos.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. I've replaced Robin once again. I hadn't been down last week, but now I'm back.
Because Robin is not with us this week because he's in China for Lenovo World. So he's having a bit of problem with connectivity because of the Great Firewall of China. But you may have seen a few pieces from him already, including a hands-on with the folding Motorola Razr. So yeah, be sure to check that out. But Clinton, what have you been? What's been happening this week?
So not this week, but just today, a few hours ago, I got my hands on the new Pokemon game. I got Sword, even though there's not much difference between it and Shield. And I've literally just put about 45 minutes to an hour into it because I wanted to discuss it on this podcast because there's a lot of things that have been said about these games, especially around graphical fidelity. So I'm not going to talk about the game as a whole. I just want to talk about what I've seen in this first hour. And it does look nice, but it's definitely way behind stuff like Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. It's definitely far behind. And also, when you go left to right, there's a lot of, I don't know what it is, I think it's screen tearing or something like that, where things get very blurry and it doesn't look too great. So the game is very rough around the edges, but maybe not as bad as the leaks that have been going around. There's this famous video of shadows appearing and reappearing as you walk down this long lane right at the beginning of the game. And you know, it is right there as soon as they give you controls. And it is, it's very noticeable. And this doesn't really look like a new generation Nintendo Switch Pokemon game. It really does just feel like one of the 3DS games ported to the system. So I just wanted to talk about that real quick. I will have more stories about the game as we go on. A lot of people have said this is one of the easiest games in the series, and I have some advice to actually increase the difficulty of the game. That's not something you hear all the time. So I'm going to put that, I'll have a story of that later. And then I'll also have a full review sometime next week. But yeah, again, I've only had the game for an hour. It looks like just another Pokemon game. They haven't done anything too impactful, but they haven't done anything too bad yet. So yeah, there's been so many leaks and so much said about these games before launch. But now that they are out, you know, I actually have a retail copy of the game, not some early press code. We'll see how many of those leaks were true.
Cool.
And Brendan, you've got something for us too. What's been going on with you?
So all this week, there have been rumors that Telkom wanted to purchase Cell C, or acquire Cell C. That is the correct word. And today we received official word from Telkom via a notice to its shareholders that it is indeed in talks with Cell C to acquire Cell C. So this is quite a big deal because Cell C is in dire straits financially and operationally. I think the last earnings call they had, they were something like $8 billion in debt, which is really bad. So yeah, Telkom did say, I just want to read this here. Telkom has substantially concluded its due diligence. However, discussions are at a preliminary stage. The potential acquisition will be subject to Cell C completing a financial restructuring to ensure that its gearing levels are reduced to a sustainable level as specified by Telkom, and commercial contractual relationships are renegotiated to terms acceptable to Telkom. So Cell C also confirmed this, confirmed that it's received a non-binding offer from Telkom. But before any of this can happen, there's a whole bunch of regulatory stuff that needs to happen first. ICASA hasn't commented on this yet, which is very important because we would need to hear from ICASA that this acquisition is allowed to go through because of competition and a whole bunch of other different factors. We're still a long way away from Telkom actually acquiring Cell C. But yeah, there seems to be movement. And as a Cell C customer, I'm quite pleased at this news. And hopefully this is the start of the ship being righted. But we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, for now, it looks like Telkom and Cell C might be getting into bed together, which is a good thing.
You're not worried about Telkom mucking stuff up as a customer?
not particularly, given my personal experience with Celsi, I don't know how much worse things could get, if I'm being 100% honest. So yeah, Telkom and Celsi. There are rumors that MTN is also in talks to acquire Celsi, but we'll just have to see how this whole thing pans out. I do think Telkom and Celsi is a better kind of fit, because they are smaller networks compared to Vodacom and MTN. So yeah, who knows? Let's see what the future holds.
Cool. I've got something a bit less, what would you call it, low stakes. not as worrying as big conglomerates. Oh, geez, Friday, you lose all your English abilities. I've got some toys to look at. So Local PR was kind enough to send us some toys that are all from Hasbro. And I've been checking them out, and although we're not a toy website, it is Christmas soon, or whatever holiday you celebrate, and also
the festive season.
Yeah, I would buy some of these for myself. So they sent three things our way. All of them kind of have something in common, where it's something old and they've made new. So I'm just going to go through them real quick, and I'll have a story on them later. So there's something called the Transformers Spark Armor series. So basically the, the gimmick of this is that you get one Transformer and then you get another Transformer that kind of becomes the armor for the first one. So the one I have is Optimus Prime, and Optimus Prime has, he's not Jetfire, is one of the other jets. And the jet doesn't turn into a robot. It doesn't have a robot mode. But it just turns into like armor for Optimus Prime. So, Brendan, have you ever played around when you were younger, or even now, with any of the Transformers toys before?
When I was younger, yes.
Okay. So, you know, like they can be kind of complex, right? You can go through like a few dozen moves to go between what would you call them, vehicle and robot mode. This one, the Spark Armor series doesn't really concentrate on that, because to go between the two modes for Optimus Prime, it only takes around 6 steps, and they're not very difficult steps. And another thing to note is that these are kind of shorter or smaller. I think they're about 5 inches or 4 inches. I'm not entirely sure, because we don't use inches in South Africa, and all toys are measured in inches for some reason. So Optimus Prime looks good. And then, the Spark Armor, I thought it was a gimmick, and it is, but it's really cool what it does. And I'll put a GIF of this in the story, but basically when you attach the jet to the back of Optimus Prime, you don't have to do all the kind of unfolding and everything on the jet, because as soon as you like unhook one latch, the whole thing is spring operated, and it kind of like envelops itself around Optimus Prime. And it's really cool. And if I didn't now, you might hear it. I don't know if you're hearing it in the recording, yeah, but it's kind of snappy. And I didn't know this when I took it out of the box, and it gave me a big surprise. It didn't like jump scare me or anything like that. It was just a big surprise, because I know a lot of people who like Transformers, but then they don't really like going through the steps of unfolding everything and doing the actual transformation. So I feel this is really cool, and it isn't a large Transformer toy, so it won't be that expensive. I don't have RRP on me at the moment, but it's just really cool. You know, everybody loves Optimus Prime. And I know when I was younger, I was obsessed with toys. We kind of had like a traditional character, and then you can kind of like add armor to them, right? So that's really cool. The Spark Armor figurines, as they're called. I got Optimus Prime. He's really cool. I'll have a story on that another time. My favorite thing of the batch that they sent us was a Nerf Rival Helios. And then it's got a combination of Roman numerals and regular numbers. I don't understand why they do that. So, Brendan, the other day, or last year might have been even, I brought a Nerf gun into the office, and we were all kind of surprised about, one, how well-made Nerf guns are, and two, how forcefully it shoots these things. The one I brought into our old office before we moved actually had dart balls instead of regular foam darts, and those things travel. We shot one, I think it went 20 meters or something down the very long hallway at the old office. It was impressive, and I don't know if any of us shot each other, but it was those things fly. So yeah. Now I have this one. The one I brought into the office was also of the Rival series that uses these foam balls instead of darts, and this one's a bigger one. It's much bigger. And the thing, there's two things that make this one special. One is that to kind of put energy into the system, to shoot the dart, you have a priming hand or a charging hand, all right? And yeah. What do you call it on a real gun? A bolt, like a bolt action rifle. The thing which makes this special is that the bolt can actually be removed and placed on either side. Because,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, if I mean, it's usually on the left-hand side because most people are right-handed and you can just charge, what's it called? I know this term. It's called cycling the bolt. I know that from some video game. You can cycle the bolt with your hand that isn't holding the gun. But if you're left-handed, you have to reach around in front of your face to put energy back into the system to shoot the next dart. Now, what's great about this is that that's not a worry, right? You're left-handed, you're right-handed. You want to shoot it with your feet. It doesn't really matter. You can move the bolt on either side. And the other thing that's really cool is this is the first time I've ever had a Nerf blaster that has a magazine. So the magazine holds 7 rounds, which, you know, isn't that much, but it's better than loading stuff one by one. And in the box, you only get one magazine, but if I'm not mistaken, you can buy other magazines. And it's really cool. It's like a plastic tube. Well, like, it is a plastic tube, and it's got a powerful spring at the bottom. It's actually really interesting because at the top, there's a little latch, and the firing mechanism inside of the blaster will... put on that latch to put the next ball into the mechanism. But if you pull that, it will just shoot those balls everywhere. And I did that by mistake last night. It was pickup 7. And, you know, aside from it being a great product, I just want to mention something about Nerf here. Nerf reminds me a lot of Lego. So I've talked about it in the past a lot. I really like Lego. I buy too many sets. I spend too much money on it. Because I just like to build it. I find it relaxing. I really like the engineering that goes into that. And something I've realized about Nerf after looking at a few of these toys, that Lego and Nerf are kind of similar in the way they position themselves in the market. And by that, I mean both Lego and Nerf are the name brands, right? Mm. But with that also comes a higher price point usually. If you don't want to buy Lego, there are other alternatives in South Africa. I mean, we used to have Mega Bloks, and they rebranded to Mega Constructs, but they're not really around in South Africa anymore. So you can get a lot of like really cheap, like no-name Chinese brand stuff. And then on the Nerf side, there's a lot of different brands that are sold in South Africa. And when you go into shops, you actually get, you know, Lego and the knockoffs right next to each other, Nerf and the knockoffs right next to each other. And if you're someone buying these for yourself, if you're a parent getting a present for a kid, you can kind of look at them and think, why would I get Lego or Nerf when I can get these other brands for cheaper? And what I've found for Nerf is exactly the same for Lego. And this is something everybody's known for years. You're just not going to get the quality of the toy engineering that's in those lower brands. I've gone to a few stores that have kind of shooting areas for Nerf, and then sometimes they put the other brands in there, and then you use the other brands and you can just feel it's not as good. The darts don't go as far. Even the quality of the foam isn't as good. And I know that's a ridiculous thing because you're going to be shooting it and you're not going to be touching the foam a lot except to reload. You can feel the difference in the quality. So when I was speaking about Nerf stuff to somebody else, they did say to me, I've seen these other brands and I can get, you know, a gun which is, you know, a third bigger or twice as big for the same amount of money. And to them, I just say, you know, you need to have them both in your hands to shoot them both.
Mm.
And yeah, so that was a long way to say from this arrival Helios Blast is that it's really pushed the point to me. It's really brought it home that you're not going to get the quality when you get those cheaper brands. And if you haven't shot a Nerf blast in a while, you should really do it because there's just something endlessly satisfying about it, right?
It's so fun. I can't even actually describe it. Like, I'm not a firearm person, not a gun guy, but those things are so much fun to play around with.
there's just something like primally satisfying about like shooting something. It's like eating something that has a lot of sugar and a lot of fat in it. Your brain is just like, yes, this is something I want to be doing right now. And even like doing tactile stuff, like reloading, it feels really good. So I'll have more about the Nerf stuff again in another story. And then the last one I want to talk about, I can't talk about it a lot because this is going to sound very sad. I don't have anyone to play with me right now. So the last thing that Hasbro sent us was the version of Monopoly that is Fortnite branded. So people give Monopoly a lot of uphill and people give Fortnite a lot of uphill for different reasons. I know neither of these brands are kind of like, I don't know what the word would be, well-respected. But I want to put these things into context because my nephew and my niece are both under 10 years old and they love this stuff. They always want to play Monopoly. My nephew especially loves Fortnite, even though his dad won't let him play it. He loves that stuff. So when I say, you know, we've got Monopoly Fortnite, I don't want people to roll their eyes. If you're not in the target market for this stuff, I don't see the point of kind of rolling your eyes and being disparaging about it. So what I can tell you is what's different between the two games, but I can't, between base Monopoly and Monopoly Fortnite, but I can't really tell you what it's like to play because, sad boy again, I haven't had anyone to try it out with me yet. So how this works is kind of weird. Instead of having money, you have health. And then when you, instead of rolling a dice, you do roll a die. I know die is the singular. I don't want to have any comments about that. When you roll a die, you do certain things like pick up a card or you can shoot other players and then they lose health instead of losing money. And then they kind of abstract the property concept where the storm can claim properties. And then when you go through it, bad stuff happens to you. And then they do really cool stuff. Like you can shoot people who are in your quote-unquote line of sight, which is one side of the board. But if you're on a corner, you can shoot on either lane. So okay. They've abstracted parts of Fortnite into the game, which I like. But I don't like the corners that they've had to cut here. So instead of having little figurines of the player characters, they basically give you a plastic stand and then a cardboard cutout that you put into it. And that kind of disappointed me because a lot of people love the skins in Fortnite, right? Buying them is a huge part of the economy and the reason a lot of people like that game. And to just have a cardboard cutout instead of a nice little figurine, I feel is a real missed opportunity.
Yeah.
They do give you lots of the cards, but I would have preferred if they just gave you like four reasonably detailed small miniatures, even if they're tiny ones that come with the original Monopoly. I think it would have been really cool if they gave you some of those in the box. And then there's another thing like the die that you get. Instead of having that stuff printed on, you have to put stickers. I don't know why they did that. Again, I understand this to keep the cost down. You know, even these branded Monopoly boards aren't that expensive. And even if you play them once or twice, I think that's a fair amount of money to pay for an experience that you're only going to use for, you know, 1 hour to 4 hours, however long you're going to play it. I just feel it really would have added a lot to these. It actually reminds me, a while back, we gave away some Fortnite miniatures. And I'm thinking those would be perfect to use as pieces on the board of Fortnite Monopoly. I'll have more about this next week or maybe near the end of the month so we can kind of lob it in with the festive season. But these are really good. You know, I've always been a fan of Hasbro. They do a lot of stuff I like. I, of course, love Transformers. It's one of my favorite childhood things. And these are some really cool toys, and the kind of theme around them was taking old stuff and making it new, which, you know, that's the catchphrase of toy creation, right? So yeah, I'll have more information about these, and they won't be reviews per se. They'll just be overviews. If you're looking for a present for someone else or something cool for yourself, I'll have more information about that. And Brendan, we're going to go from, you know, physical games to video games because you've been playing a new racing title, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've been playing Need for Speed Heat since last week, Friday, when the game released. We did get the code ahead of release, but there was some issue with the code and it wasn't activated properly, so I was only able to play on Friday on release day. But so far, I'm actually quite enjoying it. So Need for Speed Heat is a Need for Speed game. I don't know what more I can tell you, really. It sees you picking a character from a bunch of pre-generated models and then becoming the new hotness, I guess, on the streets of Palm City. And essentially, you work your way up through the ranks, through the street racing scene, and avoid cops while doing so. So I haven't played a Need for Speed game in a very long time. Mostly because my attention has now been captured by simulation races rather than arcade races. That having been said, the most recent arcade racer that I've played is Forza Horizon 4. And a lot of people will be asking how Need for Speed compares to Forza, which makes sense. In terms of graphical fidelity, I think Forza has the edge here. There are just some really weird things that happen with Need for Speed. So, for instance, decals on your car kind of pixelate really weirdly in some instances. And I don't know what that is a result of. I am running the game on Ultra at 1080p. And even if I drop the graphics, that sort of oddity still appears. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on there, but it does kind of put a bad mark on the visuals of the game. Other than that, however, it is absolutely beautiful. The rain effects at night are especially beautiful. I will, however, say that it rains a lot in Palm City, like on a continuous basis almost.
Do you think they do that to say, "Oh, look how shiny everything
is"? I think that is the thinking behind it, and also it's basically just look how pretty everything is when it's wet. My issue, however, is that when it stops raining, my performance is better. So I wish there was a way for me to just turn the rain off completely so that my performance isn't hampered by the game trying to render rain, which is a bit iffy. There are a lot of cars. I'm not going to go over every single brand that is available because there are a lot of them. You got your big brands like Nissan, Ford, Mazda, and then you have like some really exotic brands like Koenigsegg. You can also drive the Polestar P1, or is it the Polestar? I think it's called the Polestar 1, actually, which is a hybrid electric car. I haven't been able to unlock that yet because I'm not far enough in the game. So let's talk a bit about gameplay. So Need for Speed Heat races take place during the day or at night. So during the day, the races earn you bank, which is your currency that you use to purchase cars and upgrades and customize your vehicles and your character. And then at night, the races you complete earn you reputation or rep. And that unlocks new races for you and progresses the story. There are story sort of missions that take place during the day, but the core story seems to take place at night because essentially the cops are dirty in Need for Speed Heat and they steal the cars of street racers.
What?
Yeah. So, I mean, they try and make it seem like, ooh, what's happening? But like you can see it immediately in the first cutscene. It's like, yeah, this cop is stealing this car. So, I mean, it's the story is very much like a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that because it doesn't take itself too seriously and there's a couple of tongue-in-cheek moments. It's all right. My biggest gripe with the game at the moment, however, is that with the cop chases, those only happen at night. So what will happen is you will be doing a race at night, which are all sprint races. I don't think I've had one circuit race at night. They all just run or sprint from one point to another. And during these races, inevitably, you cross the path of a police officer and a chase ensues during the race, which is quite fun. So during the day, however, you can go 220Ks past the cop, nothing happens. At night, you can be traveling 100Ks past that same cop, and he'll be like, oh, we need to arrest this guy. And it's kind of like, oh, really?
They're so tired from being dirty cops all night that they're sleeping during the day.
Yeah. So that's a little bit like, I don't really believe this is weird. It's just very, very weird. That's my biggest gripe. In terms of gameplay, things are really, really nice. I mean, controls are really great. The visuals of the cars are really nice. There is like a sort of damage meter that doesn't seem to really impact how your car performs until you get to like the last quarter of the damage bar. Then there's a noticeable dip in performance. But other than that, it's really like, okay, I damaged my car, it looks rubbish, so I need to pull into the garage and repair it.
Yeah, it's not a very deep damage system.
Yeah. Throughout the open world, as you drive, there are certain like tasks that you can complete, like breaking billboards. There's graffiti that you can collect that you can then use as decals on your vehicle. And then there are things like long jumps, you know, like how far can you jump the supercar? In real life, I don't want to do that. And in simulation games, that would never be something. But it's an arcade racer, so I'm kind of like, okay, how far can I jump this Mercedes A45?
Let's do it.
Let's see.
Car.
Yeah. The cars handle really, really nicely. I'm not 100% sure how true to life the sounds of the vehicles are, but they sound pretty accurate. And the customization is really, really deep. So you can customize everything from the decals on your car to what your exhaust sounds like, the ride heights, the camber of your tires. It's really, really, really deep. I mean, you can sit for hours and hours customizing your vehicle. And because I'm playing it on PC, you can check what other people are doing and use their decals on your vehicle, which is really nice, or adapt them. And it's a nice little feature, I think. However, if you are a fan of rock and roll or heavy metal, this game's soundtrack is going to annoy you to hell and back, because the only music that is in this game is hip-hop and EDM.
That's weird, because Need for Speed used to be known as a series that had a very wide range of songs on its soundtrack.
Right.
Like the famous Need for Speed Underground 2, I mean, that had rock, that had new metal, that had hip-hop, that had this, that had something for everybody.
And it was quite an iconic soundtrack. I mean, I know people throw that word around a lot, but like Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 2, and Need for Speed Underground 2 soundtracks are kind of like the gold standard for soundtracks in video games.
Still listen to them.
Yeah, so for me, this was a really weird exclusion. And while the soundtrack does work, as somebody who's not a fan of EDM or hip-hop, I very quickly muted it and created my own Spotify playlist to play in the background.
You can't like import your own music to play over the radio, because I know that's a feature in some racing games.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be available in Need for Speed, and I've looked everywhere. I was also hoping that as I progressed through the game, I would unlock more music, but I mean, I've been onto the Need for Speed website to double check, and I see no mention of anything other than the soundtrack that is currently there. As I mentioned, it is a very good soundtrack in terms of like it matches the thrill of racing one of these vehicles at 300Ks on a highway in the city. So they get it right, but I think that a lot of people are just going to kind of go, I don't like this, mute it, and play their own music.
Yeah.
If you end up playing it, that is.
Yeah, so another thing I want to ask you, Brendan, are there microtransactions in this game? Because I don't know if it was last year's Need for Speed or the year before that, but it had literal, what do you call them? The game, what do you call it? The spinning
Oh,
thing?
loot boxes.
But it had slot machines,
Oh,
flip, no,
yeah.
that's the word, where you actually, the loot box was presented in such a way that it was indistinguishable from a slot machine. So is that in this game?
So, I'm going to be 100% honest. I have not seen any microtransactions, but my experience with the game has literally been launch it, open single player, and start racing.
Okay.
If you are going to play the game like that, you're not going to see microtransactions. I mean,
Okay.
you can unlock customization options just by playing the game. Like, if you want neon lights under your car, you can collect all the collectibles in an area, and that'll unlock a special quote unquote neon light for underneath your vehicle, which is really nice. It's basically from what I've seen, there's no need for microtransactions in this game. There might be like car packs or vehicles that you can unlock immediately, but everything I've seen in the game you can unlock just through gameplay, which is really, really nice. I say that should be the norm, but I mean, here we are in 2019 with microtransactions everywhere. So, yeah, I haven't seen any microtransactions and they haven't been glaring. They're not advertised in the menus. So, yeah, I haven't seen anything in that regard. And it's actually really nice to be playing an EA game without the buy our extras, buy our extras, buy our extras
Yeah.
constantly in your face. So,
Let
yeah,
me
so
ask you,
that's really
Brennan.
nice.
You're playing on PC, but are you using a controller?
Yes, I am using a
Okay.
controller. I'm using a PlayStation controller
Yeah,
because I just prefer it.
of course. I don't know who would, in their right mind, try and play a racing game with a keyboard.
Yeah, mouse and keyboard. No, I did try it, but it's not very good.
Yeah, and that's not really a mark against the game. It's a terrible fit for that kind of game.
It lacks that fine grained control that a analog stick does
Yeah, because
or
what are
has.
the words? Yeah, left or right on the keyboard is absolute, but when you have the sticks, you have more control over it.
Yeah, you can finesse it, I think is the word
Yeah.
that people use. So, should you buy this game over Forza Horizon 4? I think overall, Forza is a better game. In terms of its soundtrack, in terms of the variety of racing, but that's not to say that because Need for Speed doesn't have like off-road races, that's a bad mark against it. Truth be
Yeah.
told, I hated that about Forza Horizon 4 and the Crew 2 was having to go and do these other races like on water or in the air or off-road. Like Need for Speed is very much about road racing, and I love that about it. So that's
Yeah,
not a
and
bad mark against it.
on top of that, Forza doesn't have a lot of customization in it, if I'm
Yeah.
not mistaken. So for me, that's something that I really value in a racing game. I love customizing cars. So that's why I would pick Need for Speed. But the last thing I want to mention just before we get on, it's funny you mentioned Forza because if you are playing on PC, you can just get the Xbox Game Pass, and that's included, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so if you have Xbox Game Pass for PC or if you sign up for it, and I believe that since XO19 yesterday, there's a couple of deals that you can pick up regarding Xbox Game
Yeah.
Pass for PC, and Forza Horizon 4 Standard Edition is included in that, and it is fantastic. It is a phenomenal game,
Yeah.
but I think that, like you say, if you're looking for something that's a little bit more customizable, you want to make the ugliest racing car ever in the history of man, Need for Speed is that game for you. And I like that it gives me the feeling of old Need for Speed games, like the first Most Wanted game, Need for Speed Underground. Like it gives me those feelings and it reminds me of those games, and that for me is what makes the difference here. Is that familiarity of like, oh, cool, I can change the color of my bumper to be like puke green, and my car can be neon yellow. Like, there's just those cool things that you can do. You can change the smoke, that the color of the smoke that your tires make when you burn rubber. You can change the color of the NOS that comes out of your exhaust. Like, I mean, it's just extreme. It's not as great as like Need for Speed 2, where you could change the color of your sound system in your car.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of customization to it, and I actually spent last night 2 hours I spent customizing my vehicle, which was, it was so satisfying. I didn't even feel like racing afterwards. I was like, okay, I got what I needed out of this game today.
Yeah, I'm gonna log off.
Yeah. So I think if you have Origin access, which if you enable two-factor authentication in October, you get a free trial of Origin access, and there's a 10-hour trial, I believe, of Need for Speed Heat. Test it out and give it a try, but I think that you will enjoy it. If you are a stalwart fan of the Need for Speed series and you've been burned by the other games, which I think quite rightfully were slammed by people for having massive microtransactions and not much really good gameplay, I think you will enjoy Need for Speed Heat. I'm enjoying it a lot. And yeah, I'll have a full review up shortly. I just need to finish the actual game, because the story is actually quite intriguing, even though I compare it to Fast and Furious. Like, I like those movies, and I like the kind of, what's the word, the camp nature of the story, because it is very like put on and very flamboyant, and it's so ridiculous that it actually works. So yeah, Need for Speed Heat is out now. It's available on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. I don't know if it's out for Switch. I don't believe it's out for Switch.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No. It's developed by Ghost Games, which is a division of EA. And yeah, there's some really nice cars, really nice scenery, and yeah, give it a try. I'm quite enjoying it, and I don't think that that's going to change.
Cool, and I think that's going to do us for the week.
Yeah, that is it. We will be back next week, hopefully with a full team. I hope so. I'm not 100% sure, so I'm not going to make promises. But yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in. From myself, Brendan Lott, from Clint and Matos.
Bye, everybody.
We'll see you next week. Cheers. Bye.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.